few years back, I went with my wife Ruth to see some of her German relations. We flew and we were met off the plane by her uncle. And then we were taken round to his flat and we sat there in the living room. And slowly the living room filled up. Filled up with many different people. But they all had two things in common. They were all German and they were all family. Ruth had two things in common with them. She spoke German and she was family. I had two things about me that were very different. I didn't speak German and I wasn't really family. And as a result, I felt very much out of place, separated from what was going on in the room. And so I sat there with an inane smile on my face, as usual. And every so often, I'd tap Ruth and say, "What's going on? What are they saying?" I didn't belong. I was a stranger. I was separated from them. But supposing that as I'd sat in that room, I'd received the key of understanding German. That's a great big supposition. But supposing I'd received the understanding of the German language and been able to talk with them, the major barrier would have been broken down. And in a sense, I could have partaken of the family and joined in the family relationships. There was a barrier, which meant that I was separate. I didn't belong. And in effect, this is the thrust of this passage in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 to 22. Do open it up. It's on page 181. Next in our series of Ephesians that we're looking at in these morning sermons. Ephesians 2, 11 to 22. Paul is addressing the Gentiles amongst his readers. And he's reminding them, firstly, of the separation, the alienation that had been part of their previous state. They were non-Jews. They were outside of God's chosen people. And he's reminding them of that situation and state. But secondly, he's reminding them of the key which is theirs in Jesus Christ. The key which was their entry. The door from that second reading we had earlier on, which was their entry into the people of God. And then thirdly, he's reminding them of what that now means to them in terms of belonging amongst the people of God, in terms of unity with the people of God. So firstly, Paul reminds them of their separation, verses 11 and 12. "Therefore remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called this uncircumcision by what is called the uncircumcision, which is made in flesh by hands. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." Five great statements of what they were. William Hendrickson puts it like this: they were Christless, stateless, friendless, hopeless and godless. They didn't belong. They were outside the family. They were outside the fellowship of God's people. And even if they'd forced their way in by some means, they still wouldn't have belonged. They still wouldn't have been part because they had nothing in common with God's people. They weren't family. And there were real barriers between them and the people of God. Paul goes on in verse 14 to talk about Jesus Christ, who has broken down the dividing wall of hostility. And there he probably had in mind the great wall in the temple, the wall which separated the court of Israel, God's chosen people, and the court of Gentiles, the non-Jews, beyond which the non-Jew could not go, a real physical barrier between them. But he's not talking about man-made barriers. Overall, he's not talking about denouncing arbitrary divisions. He's simply reminding them of the separation that had been theirs before Jesus Christ. Before Jesus Christ, he's saying, you did not belong. You did not belong in the family of God's people. There were barriers between you and God's people. They were strangers. They were on their outside. And all the promises, all the hopes, all the expectations of God's people were denied to them. And that's a good description, not just of them before Christ, but of us before Christ. Before we met with Christ, if indeed we have met with Christ, we too were outside the family of God's people. We too were strangers to the promises of God, the inheritance of God, the hope of God, the power of God. I think it is helpful for all of us to be reminded, not just as Kim was doing last week, that before we met with Jesus Christ, we were separated from God, but that before we met with Jesus Christ, we were separated from God's people. We were strangers to the family of God. We were outside his people. And that reminding is very important, because as we look back and see what we were, we treasure and value all the more what Christ has done for us. As we think of how we were separated from God, we value all the more what God has done for us as individuals in Christ. As we see that we're outside the family of God, we value all the more the fact that through Christ we have a way into the family of God. And Christ is the key, as Paul says in verses 13 to 18. And in those verses, he uses two very important words, the words reconcile and peace. That's the change that has been brought about for us in Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ, through his death, we are reconciled to God. Separation, as it were, has been turned into reconciliation. Have a look at verse 16, the start of verse 16. And might reconcile us both to God. That's the act of Jesus Christ. His death has reconciled us to God. But more than that, he has reconciled us as human beings to each other. Enmity has been overcome by peace. And that's the end of verse 16. He might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby bringing the hostility to an end. Jesus Christ has broken down the barriers. Now, in this situation, obviously, Paul is talking about the great barriers that separated the Jew from the non-Jew. In verse 15, he refers to one of those barriers by abolishing in his flesh the law of commandments and ordinances, the barrier of ritual and ceremony that separated the Jew from the Gentile, the barrier of a moral code which separated very often the Jew from the Gentile. Paul is saying Jesus has broken down those barriers. And he's broken down those barriers not just for them, but for all people, by removing the idea of ceremony and ritual as a means of access to God, by removing the idea of a moral code and obeying a moral code as a means of access and acceptability to God. Instead, he has opened up a new and a living way only through himself. A way that has nothing to do with ourselves, so that none of us can boast, so that none of us need feel excluded. We come to God. We are acceptable to God. Only in and through Jesus Christ. And the words there in the middle of verse 16 are so important. He might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross. In one body through the cross. Those words hold the unity of God's people. In one body through the cross. When we look at the death of Jesus Christ, we all stand as sinners in need of forgiveness, the Jew, the Gentile alike. At the cross, we all find that need met, and we all find our righteousness. All the same. No one better, no one worse, no one more needy, no one less needy. There is no other way for forgiveness. There is no one else who can save us. So we, of whatever background we come from, whatever age we might be, whatever period in history we might live in, we come to Jesus Christ. We are reconciled in Jesus Christ through his cross. So for them, and for us, Jesus Christ is our peace. Our peace one to another. Our unity. Our equality. We are one in Christ through the cross. Whether we're Jew or Gentile. Whether we were slave or free. Whether we're male or female. The barriers are down. The hostility, the enmity, the envy are removed. Separation, alienation are done away with. We are one. And the key is Jesus Christ. Through that key, through that door, we become one family. We belong together. And when there is peace, when peace is made between peoples, then new links and new opportunities and new relationships start, don't they? When you have a war and the war ends, then suddenly there are new links and new efforts made to build up the bridges. So at the end of World War II, just afterwards, in 1947, came the Marshall Plan, trying to build up the industries and the economic life of Europe again. And so that happens too. There have been gaps between Jew and Gentile, but when they become one in Jesus Christ, then there is a building starting together. And Paul goes on in the rest of this chapter to talk about the benefits of peace. The benefits of peace. And they're twofold. That we belong and we are united. Verse 19. So then, you are no longer strangers and sojourners. You are fellow citizens with the saints, members of the household of God. In Jesus Christ, we who are at once separate and alienated from each other belong together. The person who is in Christ is no longer a stranger, no longer a sojourner, that is someone just living temporarily in a country, having no stake in the country, no interest in the country. The person in Christ is a citizen and a fellow member in the family of God. If you are in Christ, you belong by right amongst the people of God. We have an interest. We have a stake. We are concerned with God's kingdom. We are a family. We belong. No one and nothing can take that right away from us. Maybe somebody here this morning who's originally from overseas. Perhaps you're trying to gain citizenship here in the British Isles. And perhaps you're struggling for that right, and you're filling in forms, and you're meeting with people, and you're answering questions, and it's getting harder and harder. Now, perhaps for you, one day it may happen. Perhaps for you, one day you'll have those papers, and perhaps even a passport in your hand, and you'll say, I belong. I belong by right, and no one can take that away from me. What a change that is, when you have those papers. The statement that you belong by right. You're no longer a visitor to the country. You're no longer a temporary resident. You belong. You and I both. Equals. Together. That's Paul's picture here. Of the person who has been brought into the family of God by Jesus Christ. Belonging by rights. And nothing. And no one being able to deny them that right. But then secondly, the application, the message of Paul is that we are united. Verse 20. Built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. We are united by our one foundation. We are united upon one cornerstone. A great picture of Jesus Christ, the cornerstone. There. Laid at the very base of the foundation upon which everything else is built. There, at the very corner, giving shape, giving cohesion to that family which owns his name. In Christ, based upon the work and teaching of the apostles, we are united. United as living stones into a holy temple. United by the Holy Spirit. United to be a dwelling place of the Holy Spirit, as Paul says there at the end of verse 22. Now, that's no external unity. That's not a unity defined by words. Rather, it's an inner unity, an inner unity of essence, of being, of belonging. It's a supernatural unity formed, moulded, and held together by God the Holy Spirit. So Paul reminds them that they were separated, that they didn't belong. He reminds them that in Jesus Christ, suddenly, all the barriers that separated them from the people of God were broken down. He reminds them that through that new found fellowship with God's people, they now belong and they are united. Now, what application might this have for you and I? I think two things. First of all, it has an application for those who are sitting in church this morning who perhaps feel, well, I don't belong. I don't belong here in this family. I'm not really a follower of Jesus Christ. Church going isn't my normal habit. And everything that's going on here this morning is a little bit strange. A little bit almost like a foreign language. This has an application for you. Because it says, in a sense, it says, don't worry. Because Jesus Christ cares about you belonging. He wants you to belong. In other words, the passage says that we are not an exclusive club. If you're feeling, oh, I'm shut out, this is an exclusive club that I can never belong to. This passage is saying it's not. The church, the fellowship of God's people, is not an exclusive club. It's all inclusive, and Jesus Christ wants you to belong. But the only way in, the key, the door, is Jesus Christ. And that's where we would suggest you start looking for your way in. But then secondly, it has an application to those of us who do believe, who are part of the family of God. And as I was preparing this, I wanted at this point to talk about all the divisions that separate us in the Christian church today. But that's not what Paul's doing here. In fact, he doesn't do it really for another couple of chapters, right through till probably chapter 4 and 5. What Paul is seeking to do there is to warm the hearts of these readers. To remind them of what Christ has done for them. To remind them of the great change that has happened to them. In that they have been brought back to God. They've been brought into the family of God's church, of God's people. And we too see again from these verses the tremendous fact that through the death of Jesus Christ we belong. Even though we were separated, even though we were alienated, even though we were on the outside and strangers, we are now at one with God. We are now part of his family, by right, as equals. Jesus Christ has brought to us a reconciliation with God, a peace with each other. And that applies whether you've just flown in from the other side of the world, and this is your first time in All Souls, or whether you live around the corner and you've been coming here for 40 years, you belong. You are family here with us this morning. We've got some friends who live just on the outskirts of London. And when we go there, we're not viewed as guests, we're viewed as family. And so when I go in there, I feel happy just to pick up the paper, put my feet up on the settee, switch on the television, to relax. I feel at home with them. And in a sense, that's the application this morning. Feel at home. Put your feet up. Perhaps don't open the paper just yet. But the family together relaxes, worships, enjoys being together. And we are at home together because we belong. We belong not just to Jesus Christ. We belong to each other. And that is the truth that Paul is making for us here. That based upon the cornerstone of Jesus Christ, you and I belong to each other. You and I are at one with each other. You and I are united in one body through the cross. I think it's very apposite this morning that from this passage, from all that we've been saying, we move into, in a sense, a declaration of our belonging. Of our oneness. I'd just like you to take these green cards. and page 3. And then to stand, please, with me. And in a moment, we're going to have an opportunity, as it were, of what we call sharing the peace. Make that a purposeful time. Make it a really meaningful time. The fact that you do belong, that you are united in Jesus Christ, perhaps for some it may mean saying sorry to someone else that we've been at odds at. Perhaps it may mean greeting someone you've never greeted before and saying, hello, who are you? In Jesus Christ, we belong together. We are a body, we are one family, by rights, through Christ. We are the body of Christ. In the one Spirit, we are all baptized into one body. Let us therefore pursue all that makes for peace and builds up our common life. The peace of the Lord be always with you.